Welcome to another edition of the Exponential Podcast. I'm Todd Wilson, Director of Exponential. We're thrilled you're taking advantage of this free resource that was recorded at the Exponential Conference. It's part of a library of hundreds of hours of free training. In our mission to equip church planning leaders, we seek to distribute as many free resources as possible. Visit exponential.org to learn more and to check out the programming for the upcoming Exponential Conference.
Right. It is recording. So how's everyone? Everyone good? So this is a workshop on recruiting volunteers for a healthy worship experience. A little bit about me. I'm a 10-year-old church planner. I'm into my 10th year and eager to plant our next church. And obviously with that, we're going to get to revisit this season again where we're recruiting new volunteers. And we want the best of them, right? Not just talented, committed. They love their church, and they're willing to die for the church, right? Don't we all want that, right? So I want to just share a few things on how I've kind of journeyed through this. We are, like I said, we're a 10-year-old church plant. We are in the city of Long Beach, California, 7th Street Church. And we, by the grace of God, we've kind of figured this thing out. I think you know, there's always room to grow and room for improvement. But we've figured out a process that helps us maintain a healthy core group of volunteers. And so we have four worship teams that rotate, and they're all eager to get back on the rotation and on the calendar. And they're pretty talented. God's blessed us with a culture in our church that's talented and life-giving. They're planted, they love their church, they're open for discipleship, and to the point that I like to brag about this because this doesn't happen every day, and God gets all the glory. It's definitely not us, but we've actually fired two of our worship pastors, but they still attend the church, and they're still involved in the worship team. So I know that in many cases that could be very unhealthy. The exiting plan was not due to sin or immorality, it was just seasons change, and so when your church is averaging 100, 200 people, you function a certain way. When your church is at 500, you have to function slightly different. And as your church continues to grow, there are seasons in growth where a 15-year-old can't wear the same pants he wore when he was 10 years old. And so that has a lot to do with raising a culture that's healthy for our churches. If we're not intentional about identifying the season that we are in, we can, you know, if you are a church planter and you're coming to Mariners Church expecting to have a Mariners type building and experience, I mean, unless God gives it to you, I mean, that's really not happening every day. But oftentimes as church planters, right, we're dreamers, we're ready to take on every challenge that comes our way, and we believe that we're surrounded with the best people and we can make this happen. And so when we don't get the results that we're hoping for, then we get discouraged, there's setbacks and all of that stuff. So what I want us to do is start with this. Establish early on a recruiting process for your teams. So early on, establish what that recruiting process looks like. So for some churches, this is what it's about. Who's available? You know, so if that's how you are functioning, well, guess what? That's your recruiting process. Who's available? Who can kind of sing on key? You know, that's your recruiting process. Who can kind of play the drums? That's your recruiting process. And so early on, establish that recruiting process. And I think we want to be grace-filled with people that have some level of talent but might not be the greatest. And just follow the example of Jesus. We're planting churches that are going to be life-giving to our communities, life-giving to the cities that we are planted in. And so let's follow the example of Jesus. Let's not try to reinvent the wheel. And so the recruiting process, I believe, and this is what we use, is we use the example of Jesus. Jesus said what? Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so as you establish the recruiting process, how many of you are worship pastors or you oversee this area of your church? Okay, so if you're the worship pastor, you oversee this area of your church, then guess what? You are the one they are following. You are solely responsible for what
the outcome is going to look like. And so, come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Now, you understand that as the disciples began to follow Jesus, they didn't become fishers of men right away. They didn't have their lives together right away. And I think that oftentimes we complicate the recruiting process and we put all these demands on what so-and-so needs to have. And so we're expecting this resume. Don't forget, we're still a church plant. We barely have 10 people on our launch team. But the resume for you to be a part of this worship experience, I'm just saying, if you don't have this, you're not singing at my church. I'm just saying. Right? So establish early on what that recruiting process looks like. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If I could just invite you to embrace this very simple discipleship process. Come follow me as we lead people into worship. Come follow me as we establish a worship culture in our church. And so with that, I would say visit the recruiting process that you have. Here's how my story played out. My wife was a teacher at a local high school. And so when God called us to plant, like many church planters that might be in this room, or this might be a very similar story to you, God called me to plant, and we planted by faith, and my wife said, hey, I'll take care of us for a while. Like, we have medical benefits, and I have a full-time job. So Josh Chavez, the church planter, was making $0.99. That was my salary. And so we church planted. Our church planting group consisted of, I'm a big superhero guy, so all of my teams at church have superhero names. My church planting crew was the Fabulous Seven. It was seven of us, and we were the Fabulous Seven. And from that Fabulous Seven, we had a worship person, a children's ministry person, student ministries person, myself, and so on, administration, all that stuff. So it was seven of us. And as soon as we launched, because worship was my background, it was easy for me as a church planner and as a pastor to quarterback the worship vision for my church. It was easy for me to kind of lead the group and the team. This is where we want to go. This is what we want to do. But obviously, as our church continued to meet and as we started to grow, God gave us favor our first 2 years. We experienced exponential growth. Within 8 months, we were at 100 people. Within the end of the first year, we were at 150. By the second year, we were at 300 people. So we experienced a pretty healthy growth that's pretty uncommon in America. And so as finances started to come in, I always had this vision. These were the values that for me as a church planner were necessary in our church. So establishing the culture, so establishing your recruiting process, these were the things that were valuable to me as a church planner. Now, some of this is going to be completely irrelevant because it might refer to another type of workshop, but I want to get to the worship piece and coming back to recruiting worship. So family development, we knew we wanted to impact families. We planted in a neighborhood where there's a lot of single parents, a lot of absent fathers. Latino culture is known for fathers just leaving or working all the time and not being around. So we knew that as a church plant, the community that we were planting in, this was something we wanted to do. We wanted to preach Jesus, but in preaching Jesus, this is what we were going to focus on. Obviously, evangelism. And this is, if you've been here at the conference the last 2 days, you've been hearing this over and over again. Values, right? The narrative and behaviors. Values, narrative, and behaviors. So coming back to this first thing that we're talking about, establishing the recruiting process for volunteers and singers, musicians, ushers, greeters, everybody that's making your Sunday experience happen. If it's not happening, it has everything to do with the values of your church. Sorry for not writing so nice as other people do. If it's not happening, we have to revisit the values. So values for us was family development, evangelism, explosive worship, okay? And then obviously discipleship. So since this was part of our values, the moment we grew to the point where we had some kind of money coming in by I'd say probably by the sixth, seventh month of our church plant, our board or our team, executive team that was overseeing our church, say, hey, we have this amount of money coming in now. We're able to sustain what we're doing on the weekends, children's ministries happening. Now, we were at the church, but we had no funding support. We didn't get sent out by a denomination. We didn't get sent out. We didn't partner with Stadia. We didn't know who Stadia was. We didn't know who ARC was. We had no idea who Exponential was. We were an all Spanish speaking church that basically said, God called us, let's go, and we planted, and God had our back. So, you know, I just want to emphasize that if you are being led by faith, guess what? That's what moves the hand and the heart of God towards you. And so I'm not, thank God for all of these things that are available to us now, Exponential, ARC, and all these Stadia, and these denominations that want to come alongside you. So when money started coming in, my team came and said, hey, we want to start giving your family X amount of money for your work as the lead pastor. And I'm like, you know, well, praise Jesus. And I went home and we prayed about it. Now, remember, my wife's working, so financially we are stable. We're comfortable. We're not stable. We're comfortable. And so I came back and I said, hey, can we take that money that you're giving us? Now, this isn't for everybody. I'm not trying to get you to pay your musicians. That's not where I'm going. But this is just what, since this was a value for them, since this was important, we wanted to do these things and these things alone. We wanted to do these things great. We were establishing our culture as a church. We took that money and for 6 months we said, I want to invest in our worship arts ministry. So we bought instruments, we did all the fun stuff, and I had just enough money to hire a worship pastor. You know, to have somebody to kind of quarterback that vision for us. And so that money right off the bat went to creating a very tangible way for us to measure what our worship arts culture and what our worship arts ministry was going to look like. So right off the bat, we knew that we wanted to invest in this area, in the worship experience. Now, if that's the culture of your church, please push back on that. We're not asking you to do that. But what I want to do is share with you is just some practical and simple ways of establishing longevity and a healthy worship experience in your churches as church planters. So after you have established a recruiting process. So a recruiting process for us is very simple. Come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. So we are not looking. See, here's the reality. Can we talk about musicians a little bit? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you guys have some stories, probably better than mine, right? They are artists. They are unique, creative people that have the gift of ADD, and they only focus on things that stimulate their interest. And guess what? That's okay. God's created them that way. And they have these amazing gifts and abilities to bless our churches and help our churches. But we fail. We fail when we try to make them become someone that they are not. And in our recruiting process, we want them to become these disciples that are just, you know, dedicated to things that are important to us, and we raise this expectation of who they are. And guess what? In our recruiting process, guess what? We're already destroying a healthy culture that could exist. We need them to be baptized. We need them to be membership class. They need to make sure they go through the growth track. Not only should they go in the growth track, they have to lead a life group. And on top of leading a life group, they have to be they have to show up to morning 6 a.m. prayer, because if they're not at 6 a.m. prayer, they're not prepared spiritually for the worship experience. So, and I'm saying this, maybe those are not the demands in your church, but I've been to so many churches throughout America where the demands on worship leaders and the worship arts ministry is not fair to who God's created them to be. And so it kind of takes me to the Old Testament when King David separates the sons of Asaph. The Bible says King David separates the sons of Asaph to do two things: to worship in the temple and to prophesy about who God is. the musicians, the Bible says they were skilled, they were experts, and they were separated to minister in the temple of God. In other words, we even see in the Bible that musicians, people who are gifted that way, with their creative gifts, with their creative abilities, with the gift given by God, expectations were not placed on them that were unfair to them, but rather they were encouraged to do who God's created them to do. And so I would say, give your musicians the permission to be the creative, let's use a nice word here, the creative people that they are. Because as a pastor, you know, like I said, I'm worship's my background, but now that I'm on this side of it, I'm like, I know I never did that to my pastor. Oh my God, I know, God. Is he really wearing that? Oh my Lord Jesus, help me. Like, you know. So, again, as you establish this recruiting process, if you want it to, this isn't the only thing that's going to make it work. There's going to be several things that are going to make it work. But early on in your church plan, establish what that recruiting process is going to look like for you. Is it an application? Is it an audition? Is it, again, who's available? We'll take you. We're so desperate. We just need something. Because all of those things are what you have already established. So along with that, here's the second piece. And this is where we kind of go a little deeper to create a healthy worship team of volunteers. And if you guys do the paid thing, I'd encourage that. That's up to you. But if you guys don't do it, I'd encourage that as well. The next thing you want to follow up with is clearly define the expectations. So if you're the worship pastor, clearly define the expectations. Here's what we expect from you. And I don't know how it is in your city, but we have a 7:30 a.m. call time. So 7:30 a.m. call time. We have three services in our church. We have an 8:30, we have a 10:30, and we have a 1 p.m. And so we'll have a different band come and do 1 o'clock, but sometimes we'll rotate them so that they all just, we have the same people for the whole day. It's, you know, musicians kind of build that chemistry throughout the day, and it's just tackle on the day. And so define the expectations. What is call time? Do they really know? Do your musicians show up on time? Be honest, do they? Man, you guys are doing good. Right, they're musicians, that's what he said. So, but clearly define the expectations. Do they have a clear understanding of where the vision of the church is trying to go? So again, this is one of our values, explosive worship. Since this is one of our values, here's what that means for us. We have planning center, and we planned our service, and our services are usually 65 to 70 minutes long, right? But because this is a value in our church, our worship team knows if there's that song that God is just doing some work in, if there's that moment in worship, you have the congregation just this is moment of like, our God is greater, our God is stronger. Like, the worship team knows, like, you have the freedom to stay there and go wherever it is the Holy Spirit is in you. Now, I know some churches don't have them because Planning Center already said that you cannot go past 70 minutes. If God forbid you do, because Planning Center is going to be really upset. You know, and so, but clearly define the expectations. So when I meet with my team in the mornings, you know, I pray with them and I say, hey, let God use you. Let him show up and show off in your life. Guitar guy, during that guitar solo, let him show up and show off. I'm encouraging them to do what God's gifted them to do. I'm looking at my worship leaders. Hey, we're introducing a new song this week. You guys are in charge of. Don't get so caught up in showing off how great you sing, because they're great singers. But clearly define the expectations. That run you did, that vocal riff you did, that was amazing. But guess what? It did absolutely nothing to people's brokenness today. So chill out with the riff. And since it's a new song, let the church at least learn the song. So while they're singing it, guess what? You can do your thing. Because we want to encourage the vocal riff. I mean, if the church knows a song, we don't want to shut down someone's creative ability to do what God's created them to do. But clearly define the expectations. Social media. You're on our team. You represent the church. I always let them know. Listen carefully. If I am a first-time visitor, the last person people see is the pastor. And the flashiest thing that they see is those that are on the worship team. The people that are singing, that are engaging people. So we have to clearly define the expectations. Your social media lifestyle needs to match that of your lifestyle on stage. So let's be careful that I'm not going through Facebook because I'm going to befriend you. As your pastor, I want to know what you're doing on Friday and Saturday night. You know, so if you want to, you know, if something's risky, if you can't do it here. So, again, those might not be the values for your church. But, again, clearly defining the expectations of people on your team gives them an understanding of what they're a part of and what's expected of them as they engage. And so I would say with defining the expectations, in some cases what we have is we have a standard worship arts description. For us, you have to be a member of the church. You have to be water baptized. Jesus said, come follow me. You know, first things they did was they got the essentials together right off the bat. They took care of that. So those are the you have to be a member of the church. You have to be water baptized. And then we clearly define the next things. Conduct, dress code, call time. Now, all of this might sound like, oh man, that's just way too much work. This leads me to my next point. So the first one is establishing the recruiting process. Clearly define the expectations. And this goes hand in hand with everything you've done so far. Care for your team. Mm-hmm. Care for your team. Because if your recruiting process leads them to defining these expectations and you're not caring for them, guess what? It's only a matter of time before they break and they flake. And we don't want flaky volunteers on our team. I mean, I know, God, that text in the morning, Pastor, I can't make it today. I overslept. Sorry. Or you know what? I got this other church down the street called me. They're actually paying me this week. Right? You know, so, but when you care for your team, when you care for those that belong to the house of God, as the Word of God says, care for everyone, especially those that are in the house of God, you begin to establish a relationship that matters. A relationship that matters. And so my wife and I, we host once a quarter a volunteer appreciation something. It's always something. It's not always fancy. At the end of the year, we have a Christmas dinner when we can afford it. If not, then we do a volunteer appreciation something. And sometimes what we do is I'll just, you know, give Sean Grace, who's our music worship arts director, I'll say, hey, Sean, here's a couple $100. Man, take the team out to dinner and just love on them. Just thank them. You know, and they're just so shocked that they got that invite. Like, what? You know, because we're caring for them. When they are going through their challenges in life, we are there for them. And so when you have a brand new church, everyone is going 100 miles per hour, everyone is just running, you know, everyone's doing, and you're in charge of that, and you're in charge of that, and I'm in charge of this, and so just stay in your lane and just leave me alone as I keep going. And guess what? We're not caring for each other. And so fatigue sets in, discouragement sets in, personalities within the team said, tell me you don't have personalities in your church. Come on. Right? There's always that one. Lord, you know, God placed him there for a reason, to make us better. So that we can grow patient, so that we can grow in grace, so that we can grow in love. And so care for your team. So establish a recruiting process. Clearly define the expectations. Care for your team. Here's another thing. Find your creative voice. What's your creative voice? Are you creating space so that your team can contribute with what's happening? Or are you just saying what we're going to do and this is what I need you to help me do? And so obviously when that becomes the culture, if you're creative, which most musicians and singers are, you don't want to be a part of something that's crushing down or stunting your creative abilities. You know, when was the last time you guys sat down just with an acoustic guitar and it's like, hey man, let's just write a song. Create that space. When was the last time you actually let someone else take the acoustic guitar, and as a worship pastor, you just kind of stood back and you just fanned the flame, you championed them like, yes. And guess what? You're not concerned that you're not going to get royalties on or credit that you wrote the song, because you're the leader. Fan that flame. Create that space to find your creative voice. So a few months ago, we did a series on the Holy Spirit, and in the green room, in between services, two of our vocalists were just back there, just kind of came up with this two-line melody. It was just so beautiful. Like, you know, there was a download from heaven that day, because there's just no way. The moment they started singing, you ever hear something that as soon as they start singing it, you're just like, I've heard this before, right? Like, it's the familiarity, and the church is all singing it, and they sang it. Like, I gave them permission. Yeah, go ahead. It's another program. Just do it. Like, okay, we won't let you down. I promise. It was amazing. But we have a culture where we've created that space to trust in each other's gifts to go where it is that we're trying to go. Where is it that we're trying to go? We're trying to have an explosive worship experience. We want to proclaim Jesus so high and so loud and so powerful and so passionate and so everything that's over the top. We want to do it that way, but we've created a culture that gives us permission to do that. So if that's not you, if you're more towards the meditative type of worship, this posture of just adoration, create that space though. Clearly define that. They should know that that's where you're going. So that, how many of you saw that YouTube video of that drummer playing Oceans? Anybody? Right? How many of you saw that? This girl comes in, down the waters, right? She's doing her song. Then I know, right? I don't even know the lyrics, but she's doing the song, and this dude just comes in, you know, like just completely disconnected, like to the point where even she was just like, right? So you obviously have, you know what? Here's the funny thing: he's not a bad drummer. His groove wasn't bad. His chops were not, it wasn't like, that guy can't play. Mm-hmm. It's just someone who had his own agenda, and someone else was leading their agenda, and everybody has their own agenda, and nobody knows where we're going. Mm-hmm. So create, find your creative voice. What's that space to allow your team to start writing these beautiful organic songs that will bless your church community? And perhaps God will release you to bless the church at large. I mean, that's Bethel did it. That's how Jesus Culture did it. That's how Hillsong's done it. That's how Chris Tomlin's done it. I mean, it's these local church songs in these spaces that they've allowed for themselves to just be creative, and they've given each other permission to write songs. And here you go. Like, it's just incredible. Celebrate your team publicly. Publicly celebrate your team. Hit your pastor up on Sunday. If you're not the lead pastor, just kind of like, yo, pastor, you think you give the team a quick shout out? Hopefully your pastor will say, no, we need to keep it humble. If he says that, I'm sorry for you. Like, you know, because, you know, I mean, the reality is I get it. There's musicians, we have the tendency to like the lights and all that, but celebrate them. You know, at our church, every now and then I'll just come up and I'll say, you know, church, many, especially by our 1 o'clock service, you know, because for me it's huge that they not give any less that they did at 10:30 is usually the one, you know, right? This is the practice run, right? This is full capacity. There's nowhere to sit at the 10:30, and then the 1 o'clock is our. So we have two English services, and we end our day with the Spanish services. So. I do all three, or my wife does all three, and we have two other pastors on staff to help us. So whoever preaches does all three. But for a season there, they were, you know, they end at 120% here. They work so hard that we start our Spanish service, and they were giving me like 40%, and I'm like, this ain't gonna work. And so we had to revisit some of the things that I've already talked to you about, clearly define the expectations. And here's how we did it. I didn't say, hey, I need you to give me 100%. What I said was, are you guys tired? If you're tired, we have other bands and other musicians. The moment you say that, oh no, I got you, right? The moment they feel, but clearly define those expectations, but celebrate your team. And so usually at the 1 o'clock service, I'll let we have a generous church culture, and I'll say, hey, you know, whenever you're at Starbucks, you know, you guys walking into church with Starbucks, don't act like you don't go to Starbucks before you go to church, but you know, how about getting some cards for the team, for some of our volunteers. You know, it's coming from the top down. And guess what's happening? Like, they're getting their green teas and their passion fruit Trenta cups of whatever and stuff. So celebrate your teams. And this is the most important thing right here. Protect your team. Protect them. How do you protect your worship team volunteers? You pray for them. You pray for them. You know, I don't pray with them every Sunday morning, but those Sundays that I come in where I feel like I have my sermon done and I don't need that extra time alone, and I'll come in, I'm like, hey man, team huddle, come on, let's pray. When I pray, I see what it does to them. Like, they feel like he's got our back. You know, pray for them. Protect them. Here's the reality. Here's the spiritual part of this. Your worship team is in the front line of battle. They are, in essence, doing what Lucifer can no longer do. And so I see it. I've seen it. You know, I've been born and raised in the Christian church and been in church my whole life, and I've seen it. Musicians are always vulnerable to the attack spiritually. So many drummer friends of mine. What is it with drummers, right? Lord, help the drummers. But you protect your team. You cover them. You cover their shame. If there's immorality, you protect them by covering them, because the goal is to restore them so they can once again do what Lucifer can no longer do. They do get a second chance because of Jesus Christ. And so you protect them, and you make sure that you lay down your life for them in a way that they understand, like, this church doesn't want me just for my gifts. They actually do care about me. They actually do care about my soul. They actually do care about my marriage. They actually do care about my future. You know, and as you protect them, here's what this conference has been all about. As you become a culture of reproduction, this is hard. Are you willing to let go of your best musicians to better opportunities? That's a way of protecting them. And so we lost Marcus Duracos, who's a phenomenal guitar player, to Saddleback 6 months ago. Like, come on, Saddleback, you're a bully, right? You know, like, we're this little church in Long Beach. You got over 30,000 people. You can't go look for someone else, right? Hey, he came and talked to me and said, hey, man, I applied for this job, and guess what? They called me back. And we prayed for him. We celebrated him. We honored him and his family and church. Man, like, we're so excited. And guess what? I don't care what Rick says down there. A piece of us is over there. Because guess what? He got saved at our church. He grew at our church. He got married at our church. And so part of reproduction is, how many of you came to Exponential last year? I don't know if you heard the talk about your fruit growing in other trees. That was just powerful for me, because sometimes reproduction, we think we have to be able to see it tangibly. But discipleship is, you know, going to the ends of the world. So sometimes we might not see the effects of what our faithfulness and what we've done to spark the flame. We might not see the end result of where this burning bush is going to take, where it's going, inferno's going to impact and go, right? We might not see where it ends, but guess what? We were a small part of it. And so as you establish your recruiting process, visit that. And here's the thing, and you don't go step by step, it's all of it together. So what I share with you today, it's all of it together. I want to make sure you guys have them. You establish your recruiting process, you know, your audition process. What does that look like? Your pastoral care, you know, what are the requirements? Clearly define the expectations. Provide a job description. Find your creative voice. Care for your team. Celebrate your team. And protect your team. Any questions? There's no bad questions. Just ask.
Where? So, those points about, like, clear communication to your team and defining expectations and all that, where does that happen? Like, is that, in a special meeting with, maybe that once a quarter kind of thing where you celebrate your team, or do you communicate those things at the inception where,
So our process looks like this. Here's what happens. On Sundays, first-time visitors, they're talented. They're like, oh, man, how can I get on the team? So we immediately introduce them to Sean and Fernando, who kind of oversee worship arts. And so what they'll do is like, hey, yeah, let's get connected. And they are responsible. I've asked them to. This is my clearly what I've clearly defined to them as an expectation for me is they need to hear from you that week. They're interested. So we're not saying they're going to be in the team that week or next Sunday, but they need to hear back from you that week. That's part of our culture. So Sean or Fernando, one of them will call them by Tuesday or Wednesday. Sundays, we won't do anything. Like, we'll just meet you. Thanks. Let's get your information. But they'll get in touch with them too. So Tuesday or Wednesday, they'll talk to them. That's when they have the talk. Oh, so tell me about yourself. Like, how, where you come from? Oh, no, I just started coming to church. So guess what we found out? They haven't even accepted Christ yet. So Sean and Fernando, we've trained them to understand, hey, this is where you start that conversation. Like, hey, we are a Christian church. We believe in Jesus Christ. And part of the requirements are that you are a member of the church. So they don't even have to have their whole theology of how this, because I'm not expecting musicians. I'm not putting those expectations on my musicians to be pastors and preachers to do that. But they'll say membership is a requirement. Now, we offer our membership once a month. So they don't have to wait a long process. We actually use Rip Warren and Chris Hodges' growth track process. So they, guess what? They can jump into the growth track in 2 weeks. If they visit the last Sunday of the month, that next Sunday they have the opportunity. So now we are in charge in the growth track of walking them through that process. It's membership 101. We talk about salvation, why Jesus. And here's the truth. A lot of them, that's where they don't go past that. But we have a system in place. And some of them we do. Some of them kind of make that process. So once they've completed the growth track, then Sean now becomes the point of contact. So within the month, if they successfully gone through that process within the month, Sean is in touch with it. Sean was their first point of contact. He's their next point of contact. And if they've been through that process, they've already been baptized, they're already members. Remember, in a month, can you fix someone? No. But Jesus said what? Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It took them 3 years. And even right before Jesus got betrayed, what? Peter denied him, right? Jesus wasn't even here. I mean, he was here spiritually, but he wasn't here physically when Peter finally got it and stands up in the book of Acts and starts preaching this message. Like, okay, now I finally got it. Here we go. Let me preach to you. That process is the ongoing discipleship. So Sean now clearly defines those expectations. So we have just a little written thing. They don't have to sign anything because we don't want them to feel like, oh, we're part of a club here at the church or anything like that. But it kind of talks about dress code, talks about social media status. Social media is huge nowadays. Mm-hmm. We attract a lot of the arts community and hipster community. And so summer was just here and, girls are at the beach taking pictures, and then on Sunday they're on stage leading worship. It's like, okay, you're at the beach, do what you do, but your whole church community doesn't have to know what you look like in a two-piece, because then, guess what? Some men in the church struggle with lust, and on Sunday you're leading worship, and I can't help but to remember what you put on social media. So there's, that's why for us that's huge. So that's what we provide.
What would be, say someone does post a picture that is not according to the defined expectations, how would you deal with that? What's the discipline?
So the part is, it goes back to the things that you care for your team and you protect your team. Mm-hmm. So you call them on it. You call them on it because you're protecting them, but you do it with a voice of care. So I'll give you a perfect example. I know that, and I want to be very careful in saying this, because I know that we all come from different churches and different backgrounds. Actually, I probably shouldn't say it. I'm going to leave that one alone. But here's what I did. I called an individual, and I said, hey, what you just put on Facebook, you have to remove it. Oh, I totally get it. I didn't have to do a lot of explaining, because they already knew from the very beginning that they shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But if they don't know, if that's not clearly, so obviously if something's risky, if they're out there just acting a fool, then, obviously there's going to be some type of repercussion, and we'll ask them, hey, we need you, and we've done that. We've had to ask people, like, hey, we need you to we need to step down for about a month and just process and think about what's going on. And obviously, our responsibility as pastors, worship pastors, or lead pastor, whoever's in charge of that pastoral care in your church community, it's not that you gave them a break and not to attend them. You give them a break to restore them and to bring them back to where. And I mean, can I just be honest? That's what breaks my heart. You know, I've known so many talented musicians who never got the opportunity to be of a church who actually cared about them. They cared about their gifts. Yeah. But the moment that their lifestyles weren't in accordance to what the lead church wanted, it was like, okay, bye. You step down. We'll just find the next drummer or the next guitar. So, but yeah, tough conversations are necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
flagging that ahead of time, clearly.
Flagging that ahead of time, you will save yourself a lot of headaches.
And
go ahead.
You mind if I ask one more? I was handed an existing music department. How would you go about, these are really good things that we need, we don't have. How would you go about that process of kind of changing things? People have done it this way.
Yeah.
I haven't had these requirements before. I'm dealing with who's there.
Yeah.
But I see the need for this.
Yeah.
How do you see a transition happening?
I would start with lead pastor. I sit down and talk to him and just kind of make sure you and him have in the big picture of the vision of your church, you know, whatever it is that you're going to implement, you know, coming back to protecting and caring.
Mm-hmm.
So this happens at many different levels. So whenever someone has a complaint to me about one of my leaderships, like, we just have a culture like, hey, hold on, before you keep talking, we're going to bring them in the room because I don't want to hear what you have to say. A lot of people don't do that. And so I can't now confront you on an assumption of what, I'm just using you as an example that he just, you know, shared. You know what I'm saying? So these are part of our cultures. So if you and your pastor get on the same page, like, I would present something to him. Like, hey, pastor, look, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I believe is going to help our team get to where I just want to make sure that we both understand where it is you want, because we want to complement the vision God's giving you for the church. So that when you start implementing this and these members don't like your changes, guess what? He's got your back.
Yep.
And, you know, I think you came a little later, but I talked about seasons. There's seasons. You know, I actually inherited a dying church. So part of my church plan, by year two, we grew so fast we didn't have a building. And part of our story is that this pastor in the city of Long Beach, where we're at today, they were an older congregation, 102 years old, and they had about 30 people left in their facility. It's a 400-seat auditorium, three buildings. No one was going there, and a mutual friend of ours introduced us. We started meeting there. We eventually merged, and I inherited his church. He retired, and he gave us the building for free. God is good, right? So that's our story. But guess what? Those 30 people that stayed, oh my God. I got rid of the organ.
Good Lord Jesus.
I mean, but you know what? They all still come to our church. I mean, so it's slowly. I would say, anytime you transition and you make changes, make them with a spirit of caring and a spirit of protecting. You know, if we don't do it that way, then what we're doing is we're hurting and we're forcing you to become like me. So, but I would, yeah, I'd go write down a plan, show it to the pastor. Hey, can we? And there might be things where I said, well, why don't you add this or why don't you take this out? But at least you know. You know, with those seasons changes, and sometimes with those seasons changes, some people, this is the hard part of ministry. Some people can get to where you're at in this season, but can't go with you where you're going.
That's right.
It's sad.
Yeah.
We want to force them to go with us. But, I mean, you see in the scripture, not everyone made it to the promised land. You know, everyone left Egypt. Everyone walked through the desert, but not everybody made it. So, you know, and it's about, you know, capacities and stuff like that, so.
In this day and age where social media, worship tours, worship albums somehow bring about or highlight the glamour of, like, being a worship team, all these worship acts, how do you make sure that your worship team gets on the platform with the right intentions?
Yeah, the ongoing pastoral care of the worship pastor. Remember, Jesus said, come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Who were they following? They were following Jesus. So your recruiting process is, come follow me, I'm going to make you worshipers. So it's the time that you're spending with your team. It's the preparation time. It's the both spiritual and the gifting preparation time. It's a combination of the two. But, I mean, that responsibility is not the pastors. It's not the deacons. It's not the praying mothers of the church. It's solely on the worship pastor. You are the worship pastor for that reason. It doesn't mean that you get to lead worship. It means that you are pastoring this community of gifted musicians and singers. And it's hard work. It is. But that's how you do it. And you remind them. You remind them. You remind them what this is all about. So, any other questions, comments? You guys good? Cool. Can I pray for you before you leave? Jesus, we thank you that none of this belongs to us. It all belongs to you. And we thank you that in spite of us, you would call us and choose us. Jesus, we love you and we just praise you for who you are. And I thank you for the church planters that are in this room and those that are a part of a church planting team, those that are processing transitions, those that are processing changes. Those of us that even today with this talk realize that they have to go back to their church and have some tough conversations with personalities and individuals. But in all of that, Jesus, we know that you see it and that you love it and that you call us to lead it. And so, God, will you just fall afresh over these churches and these worship teams, that there would be a pure expression of worship unto you, God. That we would lay down our crowns and our gifts and everything that we think that we are to just place it at your feet and proclaim you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, I pray for a flood of volunteers, God, to just start visiting some of these churches. God, I pray for songs to be downloaded from heaven. I pray for those that have the gift of writing, Lord, that you would just even stretch their capacity to write poetry from heaven that would bless the church at large. God, I pray that if there's a new Oceans type of song that's going to bless the church at large, that God, that it would be birthed out of this room, God. So we love you for calling us in spite of us and for loving us in spite of us. Jesus, you are worthy of our praise, and I thank you for this time. It is in your great name that we pray. Amen. Amen.